One of the most popular, iconic toys has been the Etch-A-Sketch. That toy with the red frame and two white knobs and screen where you could draw all sorts of things. And as a child playing with the Etch-A-Sketch, I did not realize it was not a new toy. It was invented in the 1950s, passed down from generation to generation. That you could turn one of those knobs and draw horizontal lines. You could turn the other one and make vertical lines. If you turn them together, you could draw somewhat of a diagonal line. But the best part of the Etch-A-Sketch is that you could always start over. All you had to do was flip it upside down and shake it a little bit, and you had a blank screen. That perhaps for all sorts of situations and reasons throughout this world, we wish it was always that easy to begin again. Whether it is those larger issues that plague the world, hunger, poverty, violence, or prejudice, or whether it is closer to our lives, dealing with a strained friendship, paralyzing loneliness, or a decision that we regret. And I think the prophet Isaiah would agree, because when he lamented the situation of the people of God, he pointed at a stump on the ground, which is very different from a blank screen. That a stump still represents what used to be, what is no longer there, but we are left with this eyesore where at best we have to work around it. But Isaiah points at this stump and says, new life will come from it. That out of the stump of Jesse, the lineage of David, new life would come from this thing that represents what used to be. That David became the model, the measure of pointing to say, remember when everything was good, when everything was whole and right? That out of this stump would come a spirit of understanding, wisdom, strength, knowledge, and a fear of the Lord. Where that Hebrew word for fear means awe, wonder, and reverence. Out of a stump? It reminds us that we should never judge by what we see or what we hear. That there may be shoots of new growth and new life which we cannot see or hear, bringing peace and wholeness to this world. The kind of peace that we can't even imagine, where a wolf and a lamb could live together. From the beginning of the Bible to the very end, there is this perpetual, stubborn vision of peace, where all the wrongs are made right, where everything that is broken is healed. But it doesn't work like an Etch-A-Sketch. We cannot simply erase everything and start over. We have to begin right where we are. It's like unloading the dishwasher. where the plates are still a little damp to the touch, and one of them slips through our fingers and shatters on the floor. But we take time to pick up all the pieces, and we sit down, and we glue all of them back together, that everything is put back in its place. But if we run our hand over the plate, we can still feel the lines where the plate was broken, that it is whole again. But it's also not the same. John the Baptist was trying to put all the pieces back together, and the way he went about it seemed strange to others, maybe even strange to us. Because John went out into the wilderness and called people to repentance. That the wilderness was the place where the people of God wandered for so many years after being freed from Egypt, that no one wanted to go out into the wilderness. You wanted to leave the wilderness. But out there in the wilderness is also the place where the people discovered God's faithfulness, God's light in the midst of the darkness. And John the Baptist wanted people to return to the wilderness because he thought, in order to find our way, we first feel lost. Because he knew self-sufficiency is not enough. That we need the strength of God. It's why when those religious authorities who had all the answers, when they went out into the wilderness, John looked at them and said, "You brood of vipers." Because the more we think we know, the harder it is to find our way. That the way of peace and wholeness is never found through self-sufficiency. That we need God and we need one another. That it is a different path where sometimes we feel lost. In the stories of Advent, we find Zechariah and Mary responding very differently to feeling lost. That first, the angel Gabriel goes to Zechariah and says, "Do not be afraid. Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. You will name him John, as in John the Baptist." But Zechariah was terrified. He wanted answers. He was uncomfortable, feeling lost. So he says, "How will I know that this is true?" That Zechariah yearned for certainty. Well, then the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. Says, "Mary, do not be afraid. You will have a son. You will name him Jesus." And this was, without a doubt, a beautiful, disruptive, sacred, an alarming moment. Mary didn't know what it meant or what to do, but she responds differently. She says, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That she found her way by feeling lost. As Jacob Myers writes, Mary's response, "How can this be?" is different from Zechariah's, "How can I know this?" That Mary's response is full of awe, wonder, and reverence. That the way of peace and wholeness asks us to step outside of ourselves, even if it means feeling loss. One of the most beautiful moments every Advent is our Advent family workshop, where the Children's Committee plans an Advent craft for us to do each year, and the craft is different every year. There's one year that I will never forget, where we made an Advent wreath out of old tin cans and tin foil, where you put each Advent candle in the Christ candle in an old can and put the tin foil in the base to hold it in place. And it ended up being this beautiful Advent wreath that could sit in the middle of your table during the season of Advent. Well, in order to have enough cans for everybody, four Advent candles and a Christ candle, they had to put the word out that people needed to donate their old tin cans. So one member of the Children's Committee put the word out on Facebook, where she worked, and people responded faithfully, bringing cans by the house by the dozens, just packing them up in old trash bags and dropping them off at her front door. The only problem was some of her friends were really good about cleaning out the cans, but not all of them were. So when people made green beans or heated up a bowl of soup or fed the cat, sometimes they just tossed them in a bag immediately and dropped them off at the house. So a few days or weeks later, when it was time to get everything ready for the Advent craft, she opened up the bag, somewhat startled, and spent hours holding her nose, cleaning out the old cans, because no one's Advent wreath is supposed to smell. And then she took time to file down all of the edges so no fingers of children would get cut. That what became a beautiful craft started as a messy project. That before we see the beauty of peace and wholeness, we first wander through the wilderness. We find hope in a stump, that we find our way by first feeling lost. It is not anything that we would choose to do, but when we discover that is the way to peace, it is strangely comforting. May it be so again this Advent. Amen.